Okay, good morning, everybody. Can you hear me? Could someone nod who I could see? Yes? Okay, good morning. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our special Erev Pesach, virtual Five Towns based Medrash Farakwe Shir. It's 9:30, so we will begin our learning. I have a very interesting Shir prepared today. I'm very excited. I was thinking, how could I leave you? What could I leave us all with? Erev Pesach. As we prepare for Leil HaSeder on this most unusual year, we keep hearing the word unprecedented. We're in an Eish Tzara. There seems to be a gzeira against us. Uteshuva tefila tzedaka ma'avir in Esra ha'gzeira. What message could I leave us all with this Erev Yom Tov as we sit down to celebrate Leil HaSeder? I'm going to begin in the book of Shemos. The book of Shemos, of course, the whole beginning of Shemos, Erebom B'Shalach, is a story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Can you hear me? Someone nod that I could see. Can everyone hear me? Yes, I hope so. Okay. So I want to begin in the book of Shemos, Parsha Shemos, specifically in Parak Yemel by the Sne. Okay. Umosha Hayaroa Eson Yisro Chosno Koin Midjan. Umosha was a shepherd for the flocks of Yisro, his father-in-law, and he led the sheep into the desert, and he comes to Har Elokim Choriva, and he sees a malach in the flame of fire from the sneh. Why a sneh? A thorn bush. Imo anochi b'tzara. Hashem is with his people in distress, and he appears to God specifically in a thorn bush, says Rashi, and not a different tree. And the sneh is burning with fire, but it is not being consumed. And Moshe says, wow, what's going on here? I want to turn an ara, asurana ve'ara samar ha-gadol. Madua lo yivar ha-sneh. Why is the sneh not burning up? And Hashem sees that he turned to see, and the angel of God calls from the sneh, Moshe, Moshe, and Moshe says, hineini, here I am. And of course, it's very famous. What is the first thing that the angel of God, the voice of God that resonates from the burning bush, say to Moshe? This is Moshe's first communion with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Moshe, who knows Hashem like no other. Moshe, who speaks Hashem panim al panim. Moshe, who's the most humble. Moshe, who's the greatest Navi that ever lived. What is the first thing the Ribbono Shel Olam says to Moshe at the snare? Perek Gimel Pasuk Hei in the book of Shemos. Vayomer al tikrav halom. And the voice of God calls him and says, do not come closer to here. Shal na'alecha me'al raglecha. Take your shoes off from upon your feet, because the place where you are standing, the ground you are standing upon, Admas Kodesh, it's a very holy ground. So you would think Hashem would come to Moshe and he would say, I am the God of your forefathers. You would think Hashem would come to Moshe and say, the redemption is at hand. You would think Hashem would come to Moshe and say, I have news for you, you're the Redeemer. What does he say to Moshe? Take off your shoes. I am muted. I am unmuted. Okay. Take off your shoes from upon your feet. The ground where you're standing is very holy. And then he says, I am the God of your forefathers. Moshe hides his face. And Hashem says, you're going to take the people up to the land that is flowing with milk and honey. So it's very interesting. The first thing Hashem says to him is, take your shoes off your feet. When I was teaching Sefer Yehoshua, some of you learned Sefer Yehoshua with me this past year through the OU Halacha, the OU Women's Initiative. We learned Sefer Yehoshua together, and I was very surprised to come across Sefer Yehoshua, Perek Hei, before the battle of Yericho, the siege of Yericho, and the fall of Yericho. I said something very interesting. I'm getting a message that people need to mute themselves. I think all participants, I hope, are muted. I hope everyone's muted, except for me. Perek Hei, in Sefer Yehoshua, an angel appears to Yehoshua, and the angel says he is the angel of God. Yehoshua falls on his face. And Parakei Pasuk Tesvav in Sefer Yehoshua, Vayomer Sartzuva Hashem El Yehoshua, the angel, the host of God, the messenger of God, says to Yehoshua, Shal na'alacha me'al raglecha, ki ha'makom asher ata omeilav kodeshu. It's almost the exact same phrase, almost the exact same words that Hashem said to Moshe right before the capture, the siege, the battle, and the fall of Yericho. The angel of Yehoshua says almost the exact same terminology to Yehoshua, take your shoes off, the place where you are standing is very holy. And Yehoshua did so. So it's very interesting. What is the message of take your shoes off from your feet? Furthermore, we know that there is a medrash. I'm going to talk about a few different instances of shoes in the Torah, and then we're going to put it together. There's a medrash that tells us that after the brothers sold Yosef, they sold him for 20 pieces of silver shekel. Each brother, 10 brothers were involved in the sale. 10, why 10? Yosef was one of the brothers. He was sold, and Binyamin was not involved in the sale. The 10 brothers each took 2 pieces of silver. two silver shekel, and they bought themselves shoes. So another appearance of shoes, based on the Medrash here, that the brothers, after the sale of Yeshua, bought themselves shoes. One more appearance of shoes that I'll share for you. So we've spoken about Moshe. Moshe was commanded at the Sneh. The first thing is, take off your shoes before I am God, before the land flowing with milk and honey, before you're going to Pharaoh and saying, let my people go. The first thing you have to know is, take off your shoes. The brothers, after they sold Yosef, bought shoes. Yehoshua, before the battle and conquest for Jericho, is told also, take off your shoes. Now we go to the book of Devarim, Parak Chaf Hei, which is Parshas Ki Teitzei. And what the Torah tells us here in Parshas Ki Teitzei is about the process of Yibum or Chalitza. What happens is, if a woman is married to a man, and the man dies, and they have died without having children, the oldest brother of the widowed woman should marry the woman, and the eldest child of that union will be called after the name of the brother who has passed away, so that he will establish offspring in Israel. This process is called Yibum. What if the brother of the deceased man does not want to marry his widowed sister, not to establish offspring for his brother? So the Pasuk says, Amin ki teitze, first it tells us about Yibum, and then the Pasuk says, Perchav hei, Pasuk zayin, in the book of Devarim, Ve'im lo yachbo te'ish la'kachas es yivimto. If the man does not want to marry his widowed sister-in-law, but also yivimto ashara el zkenim, they go up to the gates, and she says that her brother-in-law does not want to marry her, he does not want to establish offspring for his brother. Okay. Parchaf hei pasuk tas in devarim. V'nigsha yivimto elav le'enei hazkenim. His sister-in-law shall approach him, the brother of the deceased who does not want to marry his sister-in-law, before the eyes of the elder. V'chaltza na'alo me'al raglo. They take off his shoe. She takes off his shoe from upon his feet. The yarka b'fanav, she spits before him. The ansav amar kach yaseh le'ish asher lo yivne espeis achim. So is done to the man who does not want to establish offspring for his brother. V'nikra shmo b'yisrael beis chalutz hanal, and he is actually called beit chalutz hanal, beis chalutz hanal, the man whose shoe is removed. So another strange instance of shoes in the Torah. We have Moshe at the Sneh, take off your shoes. That's the first thing the Ribbono Shel Olam says. Them. That's such a strange way for God to introduce himself to Moshe Rabbeinu. Take off your shoes. Before the battle of Jericho, Yehoshua is similarly told, almost exact same lashon, take off your shoes. Yosef's brothers, the 10 brothers, sell him for 20 pieces of silver shekel, and after they sell him, they sit down and have a meal, and they buy shoes. The brother-in-law, or I should say the brother of the deceased, who does not want to marry his sister-in-law, what frees him from marrying his sister-in-law? She removes his shoe and she spits before him, and it is called beis chalutz hanel. So what is going on here with shoes? Why do we have this emphasis or this strange focus on shoes in all these different places in the Torah? First of all, I was thinking perhaps in Parshas Ki Tseitze in regard to the brother who does not want to marry his widowed sister-in-law. We know that Chazal tells by Birkas HaShachar, each one of the morning blessings is recited when we do a different act. So we put on shoes, we say, Sha'asali kol tzarki. That was in the time of Chazal, not today anymore. When you put on your shoes are already on when you start davening. But you would say that you put on your shoes and you would say, Sha'asali kol tzarki, Hashem has made for me all my needs. Why? One very beautiful reason I heard is, just like your shoes have to fit you exactly, what you're saying, Hashkafakli, Sha'asali kol tzarki, Hashem made for me all my needs. My life fits me exactly. Just like my shoes fit me exactly, so too my life, everything that God has given me, fits me exactly. But I was thinking perhaps something else based on this Sha'asali kol tzarki that you put on your shoes when you say this bracha. Perhaps the reason that the sister-in-law removes the shoes of her brother-in-law is because he has refused to provide for her all of her needs. Let me explain that again. Because I'll say that when you put on your shoes, that's when you say the bracha of Sha'asali kol tzarki, Hashem has made for me all of my needs. So what, in essence, is this brother-in-law not doing? He is not providing all of the needs of the sister-in-law, and therefore she removes his shoe to show, Sha'asali kol tzarki has not been fulfilled. You are not fulfilling for me all of my needs. Perhaps that is one reason. What do we see about shoes? I heard a number of years ago, in an online share of Rav Shai Schachter, he proposed as follows. Shoes represent protection and comfort. When a person puts on their shoes, it protects their feet. My parents, just yesterday, Shabbos afternoon, we were looking for an activity to do with the kids. So one of my boys brought up a few picture albums, and we were looking at old pictures. And we were looking at some pictures my parents used to have in Canada. It's called a cottage here. They call it a bungalow, a summer home. It was about an hour out of Toronto, and we would spend a lot of time there when we were children. And my parents' cottage, it was a home, but that's what they call it in Canada, was one house away from what we called the sandy beach. When I say sandy beach, it's like, you know, this little strip of sand with waves, and there were minnows. It was a lake. It was this teeny strip of sand. It's hard for me to even explain what it was like. Very small strip of sand. And it was only one house away. But between my parents' house and what we call as kids the sandy beach, there was pebbles and gravel. And if you ever did not have your water shoes or your flip-flops or whatever they had in the olden days before Crocs when I was a kid, and my children were much younger, it killed. You couldn't walk on those pebbles and on those rocks. It was very hard to get to the sandy beach if you didn't have anything on your feet, because those teeny tiny rocks of gravel were so painful. It hurt a lot. So I heard of Shai Shahid, he wasn't talking about the cottage on the sandy beach, but I heard him say many years ago in a shir that if a person does not have shoes on their feet, they will feel every pebble, every rock. It hurts. What does this have to do with shoes in the Torah? So he proposed each instance of shoes shows this idea of either dulling yourself from pain, protecting yourself from feeling pain, or removing your shoes means feel the pain. Let's go through each of the instances that I pointed out to you. Moshe Rabbeinu by the snare. Moshe is the shaliach who redeems us from Mitzrayim. Moshe is the one who effects, if you will, the redemption from Egypt on behalf, kaviyacha, of the Ribbono Shel Olam. What's the first thing Hashem says to Moshe at the burning bush? The first thing is not, I am God. And the first thing is not, you're going to the land of Zavas Chal V'Dvash. And the first thing is not, Tachas Asher Tavdun Osa Elokim Al Harazeh. Not that you're getting the Torah. The first thing he says is take off your shoes. What does it mean? You're living a life of comfort, Moshe. You're living in Midian. You have your wife Tzipporah, and you have at this point either one or two sons, and you're a shepherd with the flocks, and you get to enjoy the fresh air, and it's a beautiful life. If you're going to be an effective leader of the people, take off your shoes. You must feel the pain of the people. You have to feel every pebble. You have to feel every lash of every whip of every taskmaster who beats every slave. You have to feel the pain of every Jewish baby being thrown into the river. Take off your shoes. You cannot remain a leader. You cannot become, I should say, a leader of Am Yisrael if you are immune or protected from the pain of the people. If I, God, appear in a burning bush, a thorn bush, Imo Anochi Bitsara, you, Moshe, must also feel the pain of Am Yisrael. And therefore, what is the command of Hashem to Moshe? Take off your shoes. If you want to be an effective leader, you have to feel the pain of Am Yisrael. Shoes add protection. Remove the protection from upon your feet. I was thinking the same thing by Yericho, Hashem Mamish, the Sartzova of Hashem, says almost the exact same terminology to Yeshua, save for one word. The angel says to Yeshua right before the battle of Yericho, Shal na'alcha me'al raglecha ki amakam asher atah me'alav kodeshu. Besides for Admas Kodesh, it's the exact same lashon to Yehoshua that it is to Moshe Rabbeinu. What is Hashem saying? You're about to go to battle in Yericho, and you have to know that you have soldiers who are fighting, and you're going to be sending your brethren under your command, Am Yisrael, to war. You have to feel the pain of the people. Yehoshua, take off your shoes. Don't remain protected in the comfort of your life while the people are suffering. What does this have to do with the brothers and Yosef? So Rav Shai Shechter proposed, what does it have to do? It has to do a lot. The brothers knew that what they did in selling Yosef was going to cause a lot of pain to their father, a lot of pain to them. Reuven comes back and he says, how could I go back to father and the boy is not here? Yehuda has a Yerida, Paraglamet Ches, Pasuk Av with Rashi. Yehuda has a Yerida, a descent after the sale of Yosef. And the family, so to speak, is brought into a lot of mourning. What do the brothers do to dull themselves from the pain of selling their brother? They buy shoes, indicating that they want the protection. They putting on the shoes indicates they don't want to feel the pain. Because of Salvechik has such a beautiful, many, many beautiful teachings. But the Rav says, when did the brothers realize the beauty of Hini Matovu Manayim Shavas Achim Gam Yachad? When did they realize how beautiful it was that brothers sit together? The moment the caravan carrying Yosef disappeared off the horizon, the brothers realized how wonderful it is when brothers sit together. But by then it was too late. The caravan disappeared over the horizon. Yosef was gone. So what do? They buy shoes to show that they are protecting themselves from the pain of feeling the sale of Yosef. And finally, base chalutz hanal, devarim perchav hei. Why does she remove the shoe of the brother? What, in fact, is she showing? She is showing that he did not want to feel her pain. He tried to remain in his shoes, the pain of the dead brother. He does not want to establish offspring for his dead brother. She takes off the shoe to show that you should have felt my pain. You should have felt the pain of your deceased brother who died without children. You should have worked to establish by marrying me offspring for your brother. So you see a very beautiful theme in shoes. There's really a very deep lesson here. Let's review again very quickly. Moshe at the snare. Hashem was saying to Moshe, an effective leader needs to remove his shoes, in Moshe's case literally, but also proverbially, feel the pain of your people. Feel every pebble on your way to the sandy beach, kaviyachal. Feel every piece of gravel. It's going to hurt your feet. If the people are suffering, you, Moshe Rabbeinu, have to take off your shoes. You have to be suffering. Similarly with Yoshua, before the battle of Yericho, Hashem said to him, your people are going into war. Take off your shoes. Yoshua, you must feel the pain along with them. Why did the brothers buy shoes? Because the moment, says the Rav, that the caravan carrying Yosef disappeared off the horizon, the brothers realized the value of Hini Matovu Manaim Shavas Achim Kamiachad, but it was too late. There was nothing they could do. So what did they do to dull their pain? They bought shoes, because shoes protect us from pain. And finally, Beis Chalutz Hana'al, when the brother of the deceased does not want to marry his widowed sister-in-law to establish offspring for his brother, she takes off his shoes. She shows, you wanted to protect yourself from the pain of your brother. I will remove your shoes from upon your feet. Okay. We've explained it, we've reviewed it, and we have seen the different sources. I hope that it is clear to everyone. What does this all have to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim? On the final message that I want to leave you with, as we, this is our third Sunday morning share together. We've spoken about gratitude, very, very important. What's the message that I want to leave you with? So I noticed in Parshas Bo something very, very interesting. Parshas Bo is the Parsha of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Parshas Bo begins with Perek Beis of Parshas Bo specifically begins with Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Echodesh Zalechem, Rosh Chodesh, Mishun Lechem Lechad Sheyashana. And immediately after telling us about Rosh Chodesh, we move into the topic of Korban Pesach. Many, many halachos of Korban Pesach. Okay, so how you should do it, you should knock on your neighbor's door if there's not enough people in your household. What exactly the korban should be, you should take from the dam of the korban Pesach, you should put it on the doorpost and the lintel, Hashem will skip over the houses, okay? You should, va'achlu es habasar b'layla hazeh, if anybody wants to see these psukim inside, you're welcome to open up Perek Beis of Shemos, and you'll see the psukim that tell us all about korban Pesach. And you should eat this meat on that night, tzli eish, it should be roasted over fire, u'matzos al merorim yachlu, you should eat it with matzah mar halavai, this year should be zocha. Alavai, to eat the actual Korban Pesach in the rebuilt and redeemed Yerushalayim, you should not eat it undercooked, you should not eat it boiled in water, rather tzli eish, it has to be roasted in fire, can't leave any over until the morning, any meat left over till the morning must be burned. And then we are instructed as to how we shall dress while we eat the Korban Pesach. Who cares how I dress? The kacha tochu also, it's a halacha, it's a mitzvah, this is how you shall eat the Korban Pesach. How shall I eat the Korban Pesach? Masnechem chagurim na'aleichem. Listen to this. Beragleichem. I'm in Perikid Beis, Pasukid Alf of Shemos, Parshas Bo, which is the Parsha and the Perik that deals so much with Yetzias Mitzrayim, and specifically the Korban Pesach. The kacha tochlu also. So you shall eat the Korban Pesach. Masnechem chagurim. Your loin shall be girded. Na'aleichem beragleichem. Your shoes upon your feet. Umekalchem biyadchem, umakalchem biyadchem, your staff in your hand. V'achaltem also b'chipazon. You should eat the Korban Pesach in great haste. Pesach hu l'Hashem. It is a Pesach offering to God. I will pass through the land of Egypt on this night. I will smote down every firstborn from man to beast. Very interesting. So I understand that we're leaving Egypt. We have to be ready to go. And it's fascinating that the Ribbono Shel Olam commands us, dafka, it's a command, how should we eat the Korban Pesach? Na'aleichem beraglechem, your shoes should be on your feet. What does this teach us? What kind of sandals they wore in those days? What does it mean, masnechem chagurim, your loins girded? So Rashi says, muzmanim ladarach. You're girded, you're ready, you're prepared for the way. You're eating the Korban Pesach, Hashem is passing over your houses. You put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel, the mashkof and the mezuzos, and Hashem is going to pass over and you're going to leave. We're learning Parashat Shmos. They left in the midst of that very day. In the morning, you're going to leave. So Rashi says, muzmanim ladarach, masnechem chagurim, it means you have to be prepared for the way. V'chipazon, says Rashi, lashon behala umihiros, haste and speed. Interesting. Rashi does not comment on your shoes on your feet. Rashi says, Masnechem chagurim, you should be muzmanim laderach, ready for the trip. Makachem biyadchem, bechipazon. What is chipazon, says Rashi? Behela, bebehilu, yatzanim in Mitzrayim. Umehirus, with haste and speed. What about your shoes on your feet? What does Ribbono Shel Olam command us? I shouldn't say why. What do we learn from the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam commands us when you sit down on the Ito Karbon Pesach, which is the carbon of freedom? We're on the cusp of Yetzias Mitzrayim. In the morning, we're all leaving. Got everything. Got the babies. The women got the tambourines. Got the gold and the silver from the neighbors. Achrechein Yetzir Bechush Gadol. We're all ready to go. Don't need any meat over. What does it mean, your shoes on your feet? So I think we can propose, based on what I heard of Shai Shechter say many years ago, I think that this fits in very, very nicely to the Apshah. If shoes represent dulling from pain, that's why Moshe had to take off his shoes. He had to feel the pain of the Yidden. And if Yoshua had to feel the pain of his soldiers going to battle, so he took off his shoes. And if the sister now takes off the shoes of her brother-in-law because he refused to provide her for all her needs, and if the brothers put on their shoes to dull themselves from their pain, then putting all of those instances together, what can we say about the Jews in Egypt? Why did Hashem say, put your shoes on your feet? The end is here. The pain is over, Hashem was saying. Put on your shoes. You won't feel the whip of the taskmaster. You won't have to throw the baby boys into the river. Over, finished will be Ein Bayis Asher Ein Sham Meis. The pain of the galus, the pain of the shibud, the pain of all of your suffering is over. Put on your shoes. And that's a message I want to leave us with as we sit down to Leil HaSeder this year. Nisan is a month of Geula. Nisan is the month of Nisim and Yeshua. Nisim is the month of Biyad Chazako Vizraot Netuya Ubishvatim Gedolim. Nisan is the month of Ani Hashem Anihu Ven Lo Acher. What does Hashem say? Integral to the eating of Korban Pesach. Put on your shoes. That's the message of Geula. It's a message of redemption. It's the message of you will no longer feel the pain of Galus. Put on your shoes. They will protect you. You will be comforted. You will be in comfort. You will now be pain-free. And when we commemorate with the Zroa on the Seder table, which represents the Korban Pesach, which we no longer have, let us remind ourselves that when the redemption comes, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, put on your shoes. The pain of Galus is behind you. I'm going to quote from Rav Salvechik, the Seder night, an exalted evening, quoting from this Haggadah. If you don't have it, it's very kedai to get it. Okay. Genuine Geula, says Rav Salvechik. I'm just going to hold it so I could quote it and sort of look at you at the same time. Genuine Geula, genuine redemption, always comes suddenly. Remember the pasuk says, b'chipazon, you have to eat it with haste. B'behilu, says Rashi. Genuine Geula, genuine redemption, always comes suddenly, unexpectedly. At a time when people are ready to give up hope, sometimes historical situations keep deteriorating. People pray and cry. They beg for mercy, but there is no answer to their prayer, only silence. At that moment, when the crisis reaches its maximum and threatens the very existence of the community, when people begin to give up, the Geula suddenly comes and takes them out of the land of affliction. I'm going to repeat this because I think that this year, perhaps more than any other than any of us can remember, this resonates so strongly. Quoting from the Seder night, an exalted evening, if any of you have it, page 99. Genuine Geula, genuine redemption, always comes suddenly, unexpectedly, at a time when people are ready to give up hope. Sometimes historical circumstances keep deteriorating. When we look at the world today, when we look at the matzav today, when we look at the pain, Rachman Son of the world today, and specifically in our community, right now we see that the situation keeps deteriorating. People pray and cry, they beg for mercy, but there is no answer to their prayer, only silence. But yet, says the Rav, at that very moment, when the crisis reaches its maximum and threatens the very existence of the community, when people begin to give up, the Geula suddenly comes. V'achaltam oso b'chipazon, and takes them out of the land of affliction. In the middle of the night, it comes and knocks on the door, when nobody expects the Geula, when everyone is skeptical about it, when everybody laughs off the possibility of redemption. The Ribbono Shel Olam comes along and he says, put on your shoes. It's not enough for your loins to be girded. You should be ready, says Rashi. It's not enough, b'chipazon b'behilu, says Rashi. It's not enough that your staff is in your hand, your walking stick is ready to go. Make sure your shoes are on your feet. The Ribbono Shel Olam is saying the pain of galus is over. This is what happened, says the Rav, in Egypt. He quotes the Pesukim from Shemos 2:23 through 2:25, which represent a transition from Hester Panim to Gilui Shechina. The children of Israel sighed from the bondage, and they cried, and their cries rose up to God. God looked, God knew. When the crisis reached its climax, and the Jewish people were on the verge of complete assimilation and disappearance. We know they were on Mem Teshari Tuma, they were Ovdei Avodah Zarah in Egypt. When the crisis reached its climax and the Jewish people were on the verge of assimilation and disappearance, Moshe came. At the beginning, he was very far from successful. Apparently, the plagues did not convince the Jews that the redemption was near. He comes with the four promises of redemption. They can't even listen to him. They can't even believe him. It's so bad in Galus. It's not possible that the Gula is here. They did not expect divine revelation that night. Indeed, says the Rav, quote, this is the most important feature of Geulas Mitzrayim. The redemption from Egypt consisted not only of the fact that our ancestors went from slavery to freedom, from Shibud to Geula, but more importantly, says the Rav, the redemption and the revelation were a surprise. This is the nature of Geula. I think we all have to remember that the Korban Pesach was eaten with your shoes on your feet. It's a command d'oraisa. That's why we do it. But hashkafically, what does it mean? The pain is over. You will now be protected. There is no more galus. Going to finish by quoting a piece from the Rav. I'm quoting from the Rav, The World of Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, Volume 2, page 134. I heard from my father, he tells over, Rav Moshe Zatzal, that Rav Chaim of Elazhin was once asked, one of my favorite stories of the Rav, it's hard for me when I say that, once I introduce a piece of Soloveitchik, I said it's one of my favorite teachings of the Rav. For those of you who learn with me, you know that that's a stira, because they're all my favorite. But, says the Rav, I heard from my father, the Rav Chaim Volozhin, father of modern-day yeshivas, 1800s, was once asked, how will the Messiah come? He responded, let me tell you the following parable, and you will understand how the Messiah will come. So the Rav says he heard this from his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. We could imagine that he probably heard it from his father, Rav Chaim Brisker, who probably heard it from his father, the Beis Halevi. Let me tell you the following parable. You understand how the Messiah will come, said Rav Chaim of Elazhin. On an ordinary weekday, I come home from the yeshiva after morning prayers. My wife says, Chaim, are you ready to eat your breakfast? I say, Relka, I have not finished preparing my lecture for the day. I cannot eat till I prepare for yeshiva. All right, Chaim, she says, let it be. While you are preparing, I will go to the market to buy a few things. In the meantime, I am leaving the soup cooking on the fire, Chaim. Please be careful, Chaim, that it should not burn. I know you. I am aware that you forget everything. Once you get involved in your learning, my wife left for the market. I opened my volume and I started to study the texts. And suddenly I look out the window. The sun is shining with much greater brightness than ever before. What intensity! The birds in the garden, they're chirping a new tune, a stirring, enchanted melody. I hear a commotion in the street. I look out my window. Ellie, the shoemaker, is running and dancing. Rav Chaim of Elazhin says he goes to the window. Ellie, what's happening? The sun is so bright. What is the enchanting song of the birds? The trees are blooming. Rebbe, Ellie looks up at the window. Don't you know? The Messiah is here. I run to my closet to get on my Shabbos clothes to greet the King Mashiach. I take on my suit, the jacket, is missing a baz. And last Motzei Shabbos, it fell off. But I told Relka to mend the baz. And she said, what's the Rosh Chaim? You don't need it till next Shabbos. I should go forth and greet the Messiah with my jacket missing a button. And while I'm debating with myself if I should wear my defective Shabbos jacket or my weekday jacket, my wife comes coming home from the market breathlessly. Relka calls out, Gevalt Chaim, this soup burned. You forgot to turn it off. At that moment, I say, you foolish woman, we're going to greet the Mashiach and you're worried about the soup. Go get dressed in your Shabbos clothing and come with me to greet the king. Comments the Rav Soloveitchik, this story which I heard from my father summarizes the whole saga of redemption of the Jewish people. A Jew waits endlessly for the redemption, and then it comes unexpectedly. At the moment the redemption arrives, he discovers a button is missing from the suit he has to wear to greet the king. When you sit down to your Leil Seder, whether you're alone with Hashem, you're alone with your family, remember that the ultimate geula, Hashem says, when it comes, make sure your shoes are on your feet. Because as unprepared, as unexpected as it is, it will come, and we will all put on our shoes. The pain of galus will be over. Benisan nigalu, benisin asidin nigaal. I wish you all and your families a healthy, uplifting, meaningful chag kasher v'sameach. I thank you for learning with me these past 3 weeks. Have a wonderful day. And I hope Rav Schechter is here to pass on the, like he's done the past few weeks. I'm muted. Okay, good.